Welcome to the Home Care Hub, a podcast sponsored by the Home Care Advocacy Network. Today's episode, we'll be hearing from Jim Christensen. Jim has an agency focused on financial planning, retirement, and planning for the unknown events in life. We're going to cover topics that really surround finances and aging and how you can get better prepared. And please, by all means, stick with us. I know financial planning can be white noise, but I can tell you today, you're going to hear from an expert who knows the ins and outs and who can better prepare you and your family for success as you age. So, Jim, welcome to our podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where's your agency located and how long have you been in the industry?
Well, again, it's Jim Christensen. I have been in the business for just under 40 years. Started out strictly on the insurance side of the business. Basically, from day one, was selling life insurance, as a lot of people that started in my industry today started from that side. Has evolved into an agency that we have now three offices or major offices with some satellite offices, two offices in Omaha, one in Lincoln, and about 30 different reps and agents that work for me and work with the team. And we handle everything from strictly insurance-based, risk-based products on the individual side into risk-based products for businesses and et cetera.
Okay.
We don't do anything on the property and casualty side of the business. We have other people that we work with that do that for us. So
thank you so much for being here today. So yeah, Jim is an expert in his field located in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, Nebraska was rated a couple years ago as number 50 in terms of states that people visit. Do you think that's fair? I think that's kind of unfair.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I mean, for our listeners out there who haven't been to Nebraska, it is worth a look. You can come to the College World Series. You can visit the world's greatest zoo and so many good people here. So
and meet Mark and Jim in person.
That's so, right. Yeah, that's yeah. Right. That's right. So we're going to talk a little bit today, and I want to share just a quick story with you, Jim, and with our listeners. So it was 2001, and I did an internship with a major insurance company here. It was actually in Omaha. They're based out of Milwaukee, though. And during that time, I was able to sell my my father-in-law and my mother-in-law two life insurance policies. And I was very thankful to get the policy sold, to get them in place for him. And wouldn't you know it, about 2 years after I sold my mother-in-law the policy, she was diagnosed with early onset dementia. She was 49. It was just an unbelievable experience for me because, you know, had we waited, had they drugged their feet, the chances of her being insurable or getting a policy in place would have been slim to none at the time in 2000. This was in 2001. And then she was diagnosed at the age of 49 in 2003. So I've been a purchaser of, and we're going to talk a little bit about life insurance and how it's changed over the years. And now there are some incredible products that are available that people just need to know about. So again, if you're listening out there, please don't consider this white noise. Stick with us. But our family really benefited from having those policies in place. And we talk about life insurance as a values-based decision. Tell me a little bit of, you know, in your perspective, you know, about values-based decision-making when it comes to life insurance and having the right amount of life insurance in place.
Well, you know, I would think commonly one of the biggest decisions that we do make as adulthood comes upon us is taking a real serious look at what you are worth in perspective to it as an income earner to your family, whether it be because of debt or whether it be because of new family, so many different situations. But it really does come down to what we're really doing is trying to replace the income that's lost by either the husband or the wife or whoever, if it's a business situation, by that decision maker possibly in a business or that key person in a business. But that really normally how and why the decision's made, it's just replace that loss of income. And I think that's the thing that people don't oftentimes focus on enough. You take the love and the friendship and those things away, it really comes down to just that. You need to replace the income that was being derived by that loss of that person. And that's really the role that life insurance plays. And as long as there's a need for income, there's a need for insurance.
Yep. Well, the home care, so I'm the president and the CEO of the Home Care Advocacy Network, and we are really a business format franchise for senior living providers who want to expand services into home care. And we are an entrepreneurial-led franchise for those who want to have a business that makes a difference in the lives of seniors. And we work with seniors and their families all the time. And I think, you know, oftentimes people live with regret that they didn't do something sooner, make a better decision sooner when it comes to that kind of values-based decision-making. Let's maybe just get to where the rubber meets the road. We always like to have our listeners have a stop and listen moment. And we're going to jump right in because when I met you and some members of your agency team, I had my own kind of like, Mark, you need to stop and listen to what these guys have to say. And I am so happy that we were able to meet and I was able to take advantage of a couple of things that I had no idea about. Because as we're meeting with families, you know, one of the questions they ask is when it comes to home care, who pays for home care and who pays for home health and how do we take care of this expense? And I'm glad that we met and we got the things in place that we did, because now I feel like as I age, my family is just a little bit more secure in knowing that we've made some good decisions along the way. So tell me a little bit about life insurance. And you and I have had a discussion about some of the policy changes that have happened over the years that have given birth to products that will that have the potential to really benefit individuals as they plan for either a long-term care event or the loss of an activity of daily living. Tell me a little bit about the changes in the industry and some of the exciting things that are offered now to help better prepare families.
You know, Mark, I think a number of the things that you just said really do reflect on what my industry is about. And you know, I think what, again, people lose sight of in when they're putting together a complete financial plan, whether it encompasses retirement planning or business planning, whatever the situation is that when you have the coverage in place that protects that income loss, again, then number one, it gives you the opportunity to change your investment outlook. And what I mean by that, it gives you the ability to say, well, maybe I can take a little more risk in the markets, for example, because I know I've got myself and my family protected if something does happen to me. That so many times when I meet with a family or a business owner and in competition, and honestly, the thing that happens so many times in this industry is you get a lot of people that do what I do, and in my opinion, they may be an expert on the insurance side. One may be an expert on the investment side, but very few take everything into consideration. And I think that's the thing that I have tried to do and built the agency to do. Because again, you change your whole income perspective later at retirement if you have the proper amount of coverage in place. You can be more aggressive, like I said. So I think the key is when we get down to making decisions on types of insurance or types of life insurance, whether it be term insurance or whether it be permanent insurance. And permanent insurance could be made up of many, many different types. And of course, there's arguments all the time within the industry of, you know, what's better and what's not as good as this product or that product. I would tell everyone that the most important thing is just to have enough insurance that they can afford it from a cash flow perspective and have that money working for you. Again, like I said earlier, earning a decent interest rate to replace that income. And so once you establish, whether it be term or permanent, and so much of it is driven by, unfortunately, sometime the company that I think you worked for out of Milwaukee, they are huge believers in whole life coverage. And again, I have nothing against whole life. I've sold a lot of whole life in my early years. But the industry has evolved. There's pros and cons to whole life versus term. But again, you have to be able to afford it and fit the need to replace the income. But where things really changed, I would say now, 10 to 15 years ago, there were some changes in the tax law that at that time, of course, everybody in my industry knows one of the big things is life insurance, as long as it's set up properly, can pass large sums of money on a tax-free basis. And so, you know, when you pay a premium, all you are doing is buying future dollars. And future dollars are calculated based on an actuarial table based on your life expectancy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where the average consumer makes the biggest mistake is they buy life insurance many times over in their lifetime because so many times they are told there's a better deal out there. Well, I would be the first to admit there's a lot of contracts that have improved over my 40 years in the business, but none like the strides we've made the last few years. And that's where we brought in now the element of some long-term care protection within a life insurance policy.
And this is really that stop and listen moment for our listeners and those who are, you know, thinking about aging services as well and how to better prepare now. So very excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and truly, it really changed for me in the industry. And I've been very fortunate. I grew up in Omaha. And so I've always been in Nebraska. Nebraska is made up of a lot of good decision makers and Midwest folks that make good decisions based on fact. So it's been an easy city to do business in, and Nebraska and Lincoln have supported me well. So, you know, when you present an idea to someone, the idea can be so many times just based on emotion. And the emotion behind this type of product that we're going to talk about, again, is whenever I think any of us have the opportunity to make a purchase like this, and it could be a purchase that's a tangible or an intangible asset, in my opinion, but you know, no matter what happens, as long as you pay a premium, you stick with the product, you do not make the changes or lapses in coverage or anything like that, but carry it through your life expectancy, you will win the bet. I mean, the bet is in the favor of the consumer. The insurance companies price these products that they know statistically they will only remain on the books a few short years because there's 7 to 9 life insurances purchased by the average consumer over their lifetime. So the best thing the consumer can do is to make a good decision day one with a flexible product that they can build on. They can make premium changes. They can make changes in regards to death benefit and so on. And most of the products today afford the consumer that level of flexibility. So I guess in going along with what the big changes we've made now is, and I'll just give you an example. 20 years ago, if someone purchased $1 million permanent life insurance policy, we know that the policy itself paid a death benefit upon passing of the individual insured. So an event that nobody likes to talk about, but an event that we know is going to happen, and it's there for that protection, and it's going to pay that death benefit tax-free. So we know that's the black and white. As long as you hold up as the consumer your end of bargain and pay the premium, the insurance company will hold up their end of the bargain and pay the death benefit to the beneficiary. When we had the moment in my career, like I said, that in my opinion really changed things, when I was selling permanent life insurance along with long-term care insurance, so many times that long-term care insurance would be extremely expensive. And a lot of times it would be with companies that we didn't know a lot about. And truthfully, we didn't know how deep the pockets were of that insurance company, because there were a lot of dollars in claims that were going to be paid in the future. And because of that, the depth of the claims, again, we found out were enormous. And unfortunately, there were a lot of companies that suffered some huge losses, and premiums have escalated almost in some situations out of control for the true long-term care specific policies. So when a number of the major insurance companies were trying to put together what the future of the industry was going to look like, as reps and agents, we kept asking for a product that maybe could take care of two or three needs with one premium dollar. And more than anything, none of us like to pay insurance premiums. I don't like it any more than anybody else, but you need the protection. So it's no different than buy your homeowner's insurance. You hope your house is never going to burn down, but you buy it, number one, because the bank probably going to tell you to buy it.
Yeah.
But you buy it, too, because it can happen. Well, we know there is one given in life, one product that no matter what, and it's the product that probably most of us, most consumers like buying the least, and that's life insurance. And yet it is the only insurance we know that will pay a claim no matter what, period. End of discussion. So as the industry evolved a few years ago and these tax law changed, and that tax law change came out and said that under certain circumstances, and this is the moment that you were talking about, that you can access part of that death benefit in advance of death for certain stages in life. Those stages in life could be long-term care, some type of home health care, critical illness, etc. And when the ruling came down from the government that said you can access part of that death benefit tax-free as if it was paid at the passing of life. So the example again is if you had $1 million life insurance policy, most of the contracts out there today would allow you to draw on as much as 50%, some cases 75% of the death benefit to use toward long-term care or home health care. So we still sell some separate standalone long-term care policies, but it has definitely become less and less, because today the average consumer could buy a life insurance policy that we can say, if you need to access the cash value for emergency needs while you're raising your young family, or when you need down payment on your home, etc., you can access normally most of your premiums that you've paid in from a cash value perspective. Most times you can access that without any tax consequences. Second, you can access, like I said, 50 to 75% of the death benefit if you need it prior to death for, like we just talked about, home health care, long-term care. Again, it's not a retirement plan, so right. It's not meant to provide senior living. It's still there based on a need, and that need being a loss of usually two activities of daily living.
That's right.
So, and then we know, though, if you never accessed the cash value, you never accessed the part of the death benefit that's available for long-term care. Again, we're back to that same thing. We know the death benefit is going to pay at the end tax-free. So it is absolutely for the consumer the only way that they know, no matter what happens, they have the protection. The protection if a family emergency happens, that they need the cash and need it fairly quick. And again, it's not a short-term savings account, but they could, the second being for some type of illness that drives us to home health care, long-term care, or any of the above, or at the time of death, all available on a tax-free basis.
Yeah.
And I don't know what more a person could want out of a product.
So part of our story behind the Home Care Advocacy Network is, you know, and it's just part of the story, but we, you know, we had a family caregiver in our family who basically reformatted his life to take care of, and it was my father-in-law who did this for my mother-in-law, and quit his job, took care of her at home, you know, for 13 years. And had he had the opportunity, you know, to access a product or a service like this, it can change possibly the outcome of your own life. You know, you have more assistance, you have more of the help you need when you need it. And I think that's, as part of the podcast series with the Home Care Advocacy Network, we want to educate people inside of aging services on how we can improve the overall services and the overall outlook for people as they age, both in the United States as well as the world. So, and we'll have some educational links posted along with today's podcast to our website and to our social media feeds as well, so people can ask the right questions. And I think that was one of the questions I had for you, Jim. It can be confusing. So as somebody who's deep in the industry and who's actually helping educate people who are designing policy around life insurance and insurance products like you are, it may come easy, almost like second nature. But what should someone ask for? So someone who's hearing this saying, oh my gosh, I could potentially get a life insurance policy that could help me with, if I lose some activities of daily living, if I lose my ability to feed myself, if I lose my ability to walk, I could possibly get that. What should they ask for? So if they were to call an agency like yours and ask for something, what terminology, what would they use? Hey, I'd like to talk to somebody about what exactly, what specifically would they be asking for?
I would think, number one, as a consumer, the questions you always would want to ask is, you know, does the representative or the agent offer more than one company? Because yes, although we have some favorites out there in the industry that we work with a lot, you know, I'll tell you, we'd love to work with Nebraska-based companies, and we have some great companies in Nebraska with some extremely high ratings. But I think the importance of that is what I just said. I think you want to look for, you know, an A-rated company or above, and they can go A+, A++, and et cetera. I think, again, you want to make sure the companies have some deep pockets. Look what we've just gone through with COVID and are still going through. That's probably one of the first times in my 40 years that we're going to see the actual curve almost get bent the other direction for at least the short term. So we know that there can be catastrophes, and really the whole coronavirus has become that to all of us, I guess, but it really, of course, is going to have an effect on a lot of insurance companies. Most all the good A+ and A-rated carriers are going to weather this storm and get through it just fine. But so I think the quality of the company is extremely important. I think the other questions I would always ask, how does the claims process take place? Most consumers, I am surprised, no one hardly ever asks me. And I explain to them, I'm still very old school, deliver most of my contracts in person. And that's part of more of the complete financial planning process. But take the time to go through your policy, to understand it. And you know, so those are all, I think, important parts to remember. I think as far as the products itself go, making sure that it does have the types of riders that you and I just spoke about. Because interestingly enough, most of the companies now do not charge any additional premium for the contracts that do have these riders that do allow you to access part of the death benefit in advance. Because if you think through this again, and again, and an actuary figures it out, but if you have $1 million policy, and you know, when I started in the business, the average size of the policy that I wrote was around 25 or 30,000. And today the average size policy I write is around 1.6 million. So, I mean, that's just not wow. Because of my growth in the business, but times have changed. And we have smarter consumers when it comes to insurance today than we've ever had. But so I think knowing if there is a cost for this rider or that availability. And again, it's kind of interesting. The big A and A plus companies, most of them don't charge for that rider because, again, we know it's still going to pay the $1 million ultimately out. Now, from an actuarial perspective, it may pay it sooner than what these companies had thought they were going to. But still, they know their overall exposure is still limited to that $1 million. But some companies do charge for it. I've asked those companies why, and I'm going to be point blank here, like I always am. And the answer is because we can. There is not a good actuarial reason for doing it because they're not paying out more than what they would. Because if you have $1 million policy and you use 500,000 of it for long-term care, the policy at the time of death is going to be 500,000. So the exposure is not more to the insurance company. So you need to be careful to understand that. Now, I can tell you that we can give the consumer the option to increase the death benefit as you pay premiums in, and then the cost for that policy would be more. But a perfect quick example, if you had $1 million policy and you'd paid $100,000 in premium in, at the time of claim, the policies that we write today, it's even changed more this year, would pay them $1.1 million. So death benefit, premiums back, and then you can access half of that death benefit normally for the long-term care. So, but in that situation, you would get more coverage the more you pay in. If cash flow is a non-issue, that is definitely the best option. Most situation, cash flow has something to do with it. But
yeah,
the company is extremely important. And then I think the agent or the rep is extremely important, because these contracts today are fairly complicated, but they are really not as complicated as most of the agents make them out to be. And in my opinion, sometimes my competitors, I think, make it more complicated because I think it makes them, I think they look smarter because of it. And I'm not so sure that that's the right way to, I guess, sell anything. I truly do keep it simple, and it's better for everybody.
Truly. Well, and I'm going to throw something out at you. I don't know if it'll make you feel good, or I don't know how it'll make you feel, but there is something in the world called the law of 10,000 hours. Have you heard of it? The law of 10,000 hours says that when you do something for 10,000 hours, you have a high likelihood of becoming an expert at that. So given your time in the industry, you're at roughly 83,200 hours. So to say, so you're actually an expert like eight times over. So
that just means I'm getting old.
Well, no, that's why I said, I didn't know how you'd feel about it, but we're on our podcast today with Jim Christensen, who is an expert eight times over in the life insurance industry, and somebody who knows a lot about how to better prepare families as our loved ones age. And we talked a little bit today about the qualities of a company that you should look for, how that company is financially positioned as a concern, and then some unique riders that have been made available in life insurance policies that can help families who own these policies with their loved ones if they experience a loss of activities of daily living, which, in the home care industry, oftentimes that's exactly where home care starts, is you start to lose some of those ADLs and you need a little extra help at home to help keep your loved one aging in place. And that's why this was of such interest to me, and that along with our family experience. It's a great values-based decision, and we really appreciate your time and your education today. We'll make sure that we get as much information out there about these policies and about the opportunity that you have to access these products to be better prepared for the future in aging services. So, Jim, I really appreciate your time today, and I'm sure it won't be the last time that we are talking here on the Home Care Hub podcast.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark, and best of luck to you. And I appreciate that everything that you're doing for educating all of us as consumers on the home health care front. So
you bet. As always, you can reach out to the Home Care Advocacy Network at hcanthrive.com, or you can reach us directly at partner@hcan.com. The Home Care Advocacy Network is a business format home care franchise for senior living providers and an entrepreneur-driven franchise for those who want to be their own boss and make a difference. The services that we provide are everything from companionship and respite care, personal care, as well as dementia care for wherever a senior may call home. Jim, thank you again for your time. Until we meet again.
All right. Thank you, Mark.